This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Chiefs Friday News Dump is coming up here in about 20 minutes or so at 877-881-1053. Riddle me this. Who's a better quarterback, Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins? They're getting together this weekend on Sunday afternoon, and hope you tune in for the pregame show with Chiafalo and Broadus, and the postgame show with Wolchuk and Broadus. And I imagine it'll be a topic of conversation for some of the phone callers there. Kirk Cousins just set an NFL record, 8 touchdowns against a single team in one season. He did that against Tampa. Now, you know, I think you'd probably say, well, Tampa doesn't have a good defense. And I would say, well, Dak Prescott's gotten fat off destroying bad defenses. So sure. I think the similarities are kind of there. Falcons had a lot of scrutiny for their quarterback decision in the offseason when they not only signed Cousins, but also brought in Michael Penix with the 8th pick in the NFL draft. Cousins absolutely dominating under pressure. So much for looking over your shoulder and having it negatively impact, you know, how things are going for you. He is playing at a high level, and I think he's one of the reasons I expect the Cowboys to immensely struggle on defense, and I'd be shocked if Dak has a better game than Kirk Cousins, Wolchuk.
Yeah, right now this year, Kirk is definitely the better quarterback between the two. He's played better. If you look over the course of their careers, Dak's got 2 playoff wins, Kirk has 1, and record-wise, 81-70-2 for Kirk. Dak 76-45. Completion percentage is relatively close. I think Dak's touchdown interception ratio is much better, and yards per attempt are pretty much identical at 7.6. So I think I would lean, like, over the course of their careers, I'd probably still say Dak, but right now, today, like, if I had to take one of them to win me a game on Sunday, I would lean Kirk Cousins. He is playing better football than Dak is.
It's just so difficult to evaluate, you know, and that's tricky, and that's why teams struggle so much at the position. It's hard to remove a guy's stats from who he is, you know, but I feel like Dak is way better than the stats he's putting out this year. You know? And that's why I think it takes so long, 8 to 10 years sometimes. You got to let a lot of things play out with a variety of different supporting cast before I think you can get some sort of a final verdict, unless it's so great or it's so absurdly bad that, you know, it's obvious. But I would put them roughly in the same place, in the same grouping amongst their peers, yes. Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. And, you know, that's at times over the last 8 years been a controversial idea.
Right.
A lot of the Dak supporters would scoff at that and become offended for their guy. But I think, you know, the longer things go on, I think you have to accept that, because maybe Kirk Cousins is getting better, and I think Dak might be regressing as his career goes on.
Well, there is something to that, I think, with the athleticism for sure and the mobility factor. I think that's a guarantee. The one advantage that Kirk Cousins has had over Dak is the play caller, because having Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, pretty strong. What did he? I don't even know. Was it Jay Gruden that he was mostly with Washington?
He was with Jay in Washington
because he had some Shanahan there.
He had Kevin Stefanski with him in Minnesota before he got
Stefanski,
the Cleveland job.
Then he got, you know, and then of course O'Connell there, who came
now
from the Rams.
Zach Robinson,
exactly.
Who came from the Rams.
Came from the Rams. So you have at least forward thinking play callers and play designers that I think give him a little bit of a leg up there. And if Dak could have had somebody like that, and maybe this next hire, this upcoming offseason, could be that hire, but it would be the first time we've seen Dak in a newer kind of professional offense.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a fair point. You know, I'd love to see Dak in an optimized offense with great protection and a running game. And it's like the Cowboys believe foolishly that it's okay to try to build a contender that has massive holes in the operation. I think that was the meta for how to build a Super Bowl team up until about 2015, 2016. It changed. The 817 asked you guys a question. Would Dak be performing at Kirk Cousins' level in that offense, worse or better?
I would think yes.
You think he'd be doing better?
I think he'd be doing at least as good as Kirk is doing right now. I know Dak is off, and you're trying to decide how much is the problem with the offense, Dak just not being good, and then how much of it is the offense from personnel to scheme is not good around him. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles, you saw even in week one, he wasn't that awesome. And then he's gotten a little bit more comfortable. But still, when he's pressured, he's an awful quarterback.
Yeah,
so he's just been fortunate going up against some defenses that don't really conjure up that much pressure. But when he is pressured, he's still not all that great. And he's not mobile at all. You talk about Dak's mobility right now. Kirk Cousins has none of it.
This year, Dak's still playing better under pressure than Kirk Cousins?
Now, that's a good question that I would need to look at specifically with Dak.
Definitely over the course of their careers, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I do think Dak would, I don't know if he would have 9 touchdowns like Kirk does against Tampa Bay. I mean, Kirk was unbelievable in those games, and he made some throws that, quite frankly, I don't think Dak is capable of making.
But outside those games, it just hasn't been that
but
much.
Yeah, I think overall, they'd probably be 5-3, just like with Dak, just like they are with Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, you take away the Tampa games and he's got 6 touchdowns and 7 picks, but the balance of the season, 68.3%, on pace for probably 4,500 yards, passer rating approaching 100. Kirk Cousins, no doubt, having a big season. If the Cowboys want to win, they got to find a way to pressure him and get some mistakes going. And I just don't know if they have the personnel to do that right now. Okay, let me check back in here with some more of these text messages at 877-881-1053. Give me Dak with the Atlanta offense, says the 817. Dak has played with way more talent than Cousins ever did, says the 940. You know, obviously he had Jefferson in Minnesota. He's got some really good receivers now.
Didn't he have Diggs in Minnesota?
Oh, that's right. Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen when he was still good.
Adam Thielen was really good. TJ
Prime Dalvin Cook.
Prime Dalvin Cook, 100%. Yeah. I mean, they had some weapons.
They had some weapons,
for
sure.
They definitely had weapons in Minnesota. They had some good teams.
Okay.
And a really good defense for a while.
The 214, yeah. I mean, they had a lot of talent there. First, it was Garrett's fault, then Shoddy, then Kellen. Now it's McCarthy's fault. The problem is a let play caller. It's QB1. Always will be until you make a change. 4 more years of purgatory, boys. You're only as good as your quarterback, Dak, middle of the road at best. I think he's above average. You know, I think he's somewhere between 8th and 12th best, if I had to ballpark it. And I think the Cowboys have shown they can build a hell of a team around him. You know, we just need them to get aggressive like contenders are right now and say, hey, we need elite players. We need to go get an Amari Cooper. We need to, you know, look at our biggest issue on our football team and go trade for somebody that turns that into a strength. And, you know, that's what Tampa did. That's what Philadelphia did. That's what the Niners did. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody does this if you want to get there. And, you know, unless you're the Chiefs and you just have the cheat code known as Patrick Mahomes. So,
yeah, I mean, with Dak right now and looking ahead here with the amount of dollars that he's being given, it's probably unlikely that there's really any scenario that you could see him getting a team to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fair to say, looking at like, hey, how many coaches do we have to go through before we look at the quarterback? Now, I would have already looked at the quarterback and said, you can't get it done. I'm not paying you all that money.
Right.
Because I think I know what your ceiling is now, and it's not a Super Bowl championship. So if that's what you're here
but
for.
You've seen Garoppolo, Foles, Goff.
Yeah.
You know,
when
it's
they're
doable.
Not, when they're not making top of the tier dollars, right? Now you're the highest paid quarterback, and the Cowboys are definitely one of the franchises that will allow that to dictate them trying to cut corners. They won't say we have the highest paid quarterback and for the next year or two we're just going to say bleep it, swipe it, and let's stack the roster around it. They're going to say we've got the highest paid quarterback, so that guy has to make up for right. All the other areas of the roster that we're going to have to be a little bit lesser than at. So with that being the case, I think you're not getting a Super Bowl over the next 4 years with Dak as your quarterback. That would be my guess, but you could get a lot further if you had a respectable coach, offensively in particular. And at no point did we think they were making the right decision. It wasn't like they brought in the guy and Dak can't get it done with him. They go from Garrett to it's Linehan, it's Kellen Moore, who was a lot of hype, but there was nothing really foundational to stand on to say this guy is legit. We think he's going to be legit, but this is the first time he's ever called plays for anybody at any level, and so to expect that guy to be awesome, okay, whatever. I don't think that's one of those ones that you can be like, hey, that was an awesome coordinator that Dak had. And then you go even older with Mike McCarthy, and nobody was hyping that up like, hey, that's an awesome hire. So you've swung and missed on the coaching opportunities offensively to put around Dak. And I think that is something that is huge in the sense of you could get further than what you've gotten to this point if you had a legit head coach slash offensive coordinator.
Absolutely. And I hope when the Joneses decide to move on to the offseason that they do a better search this time. Okay, next big picture talking point from this Falcons-Cowboys matchup. Bijan Robinson ranking ninth in the NFL, 546 rushing yards. He's had two big performances over the last 3 weeks, perhaps, you know, trending into that that runway of absolute superstardom in the NFL. But, you know, I think the status of their running game is the reason that going into this Atlanta game, your expectation should be absolutely on the floor. There's no reason to believe they won't line up and run all over you for at least a buck 50, maybe over 200 again, like the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, we spend the majority of the time talking about offense, right? But, like, you look over at Kansas City, what's Pat Mahomes have? Maybe the best defense in the NFL. So, you know, you can have the best quarterback, too, but you got to have a team. You got to have a complete team. And the Cowboys right now on the defensive side of the football, granted, hey, they are injury-riddled, but that defense hasn't been playing well. And, you know, I guess when you look back at their failures, they played well in postseason games, and then your offense lets you down. But right now, I mean, that side of the ball, it's going to take a miraculous effort to keep 30 points off the football with who they're going to be putting out there on Sunday.
Bijan Robinson, a heck of a talking point, you know, taking the running back in as high as they did. In the 2023 draft, Cowboys will be in a similar situation where they could take Jenty if they want to, and they got to know he's going to be available because not many teams will use a high pick on a runner like that. And I would just ask the Atlanta Falcons, you know, if they, you know, think that was a wise pick still at this point. You know, you're not a strong contender. You have an unbelievable two-headed running back room.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins and great weapons. I think if they could have got themselves some help on defense, you know, they would be much further along the path to contention if they got Bijan Robinson's equivalent. Now, the opportunity here is in the lack of a Falcons pass rush. Mm-hmm. They rank last in the league in sacks with just 6 this year. Matthew Judon, acquired in the trade with the Patriots, 68 career sacks, only has 1.5 this season because he has no help. It's easy for opposing offenses to get some help on Judon. You don't have to worry about that. I think the point holds. If the Cowboys cannot get something going in a big way, explosive offense, run up the score in this week's game, there should be no reason for optimism. They'll be able to do it at all in the second half of the season. This is as easy as it gets. After last week's game, guys, I think I want to see those rub routes. I want to see the pick plays or the crossing routes, whatever it is. I would challenge the officials to call that, because on a team where you're absolutely struggling to get open, I don't think you want to be running that all day. That's going to get on the officials' nerves, but absolutely in the red zone. We should see more of that.
Yeah, I mean, how'd they score against Pittsburgh to win the game with Jalen Tolbert? It was a mesh route. Mesh, mesh, mesh. So that's the concepts that we're talking about here, that all these teams that have the high-powered offenses are running. It's all about trying to create natural separation for your receivers and scheme them open. And we see the Cowboys do it every once in a while, which is what's so maddening about it. It's like, we know you have the capability of doing it. You've got certain plays in your playbook that do that, but it's just few and far between. There's just zero consistency.
On the Cowboys side of the ledger, big picture topics going into this Sunday's game. We're getting some cloud cover here. Are we about to have a storm come in, DFW?
Oh, no.
I can't see the sun down here. It got dark all of a sudden. Cowboys not where they expected to be at 3-4. Things are getting chippy, perhaps demoralized against the 49ers. Steven joined us today as well, and he says they're surprised that they are not better than what they were. Jerry Jones said that this week as well. Now, I think that's a big problem. Can this team evaluate its own players, Wolchuk? Does it know how good or bad they actually are?
I think right now that's proving to be an issue. And I mean, some of the contracts that they've handed out and re-signing some of their own, like I've been, all right, I'm with you on this one. And it's so far though, you look at the guys that they have paid and hey, DeMarcus Lawrence is hurt. I get that. Brandon Cooks right now, that was a contract that you traded for. He's hurt. He's not helping you, but Steele's not giving you anything. Dak and CD, I mean, CD, hopefully he's turning it around. He's going to put up that all-pro season. You need more from Dak, but then what have you put him in position to succeed, right? So right now I think that that's something that they do have to evaluate, but it comes back to the way that they team build, and it's all through the draft, and it's all about we like our guys and paying our own guys. They're not going to put a team together where we're going to go ahead and be players in free agency and we're going to be super aggressive on the trade market. And right now, it's proving to not be enough and it's handicapping them. You're seeing it right before your own eyes right now. The lack of going out and filling holes through free agency and other avenues, that's why you have zero depth right now. That's why you're looking around, you're like, yeah, we are having to play Joe Schmoes and super young players because this is what you've put yourself into. Like, this is your bet. And I don't know how in the world everyone else looked at their roster and said, you're deficient in this area, that area, and they didn't. I mean, anybody who watched this team play could say you need to improve on the defensive line. You're weak up the middle. Offensively, okay, you made the decision to move on from Tyron. That was smart. You're going to struggle offensively when you're starting a left tackle that's a rookie and a center that's a rookie. It's going to take some time.
Yeah,
I don't know how they could have expected anything less than what they're getting right now.
Yeah, I think if you look at the difference in picks from Dak in 2022 and 2023, it was the health of Tyron Smith. Tyron played the majority of 2023, was not great in the run game, but was still great in the pass game, and that allowed Dak the time and the space to rack up the points without all the turnover-worthy plays. I mean, he is leading the league by a wide margin now in the turnover-worthy plays. And, you know, this season could really get away from him with an absurdly embarrassing turnover total if he doesn't rein it in. You know, if they find themselves down and he's got to go for it, I don't know. You know, like maybe not in the 20s, but dang close to it. I would not be surprised. This is going to be our first annual G-Bag Nation post-Halloween weight loss competition. I understand Wolchuk weighed in this morning at the house, brought us weight in last night. Send us an update on that. I'm going to step on the scale here at the break, and I'm terrified what I'm going to see.
Oh, I hated what I saw.
I had perhaps the most degenerate summer and fall of my life. I'm pretty sure I put on about 25 pounds in maybe 4 months.
Dude, so impressive.
Yeah, I was getting after it pretty good.
Very impressive.
After I hit my 1.5 pull-up, at's sometime shortly before the Super Bowl, I don't think I've exercised since then.
You got satisfied.
Yeah. You crushed it for a period.
I got
there,
complacent.
Man.
You were tearing it up. Yeah. I'm not joking you. Flagtober in general's done a number on me because we're ordering Zalad's pizza at Southern Leecher Spa's patio to kick it off. We're doing Tour Day DFW at Whataburger's. Obviously, yeah. I'm getting something. We're closing it down with Whataburger. Here comes a Richardson Bar and Grill with one of the greatest bar menus I've ever seen in my entire life. And they're just feeding us endlessly, of course. We're boozing. Then it's a football Friday at B-Dubs, Flagtober style. Yeah. It's booze. It's wings. It's all over the place. And then you have Sean's party on Saturday. It's booze and Halloween and candy. I'm not joking you. I put on 8 pounds in 4 days last week.
Nice, dude. That's impressive work. That's a better pace than your wing eating pace that you exhibited last Friday.
It was a pretty blur. I mean, it was like 3 or 4 days in a row of just eating just endlessly and then also boozing.
Yeah.
And it's just recipe for
that'll get you
big time weight gain.
Right on. So we all need it. It'll be a good opportunity to maybe take a few off before the holiday debauchery ensues starting Thanksgiving. Chief, where are we going next?
Well, I mean, it makes me want to ask the question to the Tolos, like, what's the most amount of unintentional weight gained in like a very short period of time? Because like my 8 pounds in 4 days, I feel like is pretty impressive. Can you top that?
We also
have a local police chase that's pretty incredible. And I have the word of the year. Can you guess what it is? That's next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
Okay, yeah, I'm under 180 most of the time, and that scale said 206 in that break room. Jeez. I don't know the last time I weighed that much, maybe 10 years or so ago.
You were boozing.
So, yes, so this weight loss challenge with pride on the line is perfectly timed. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Let's do a Friday news dump. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's Eric Chia following with that dump.
469 calling me out for cranking up the old excuse machine, Flagtober excuse for the weight gain.
yeah.
I heard
it leave the station.
I was pretty uncomfortable there as well. 217. I mean, I'm usually 210, right around, maybe a touch under. I love a 209. I love seeing the 20 something. But 217, that was an eye-opening.
And what would
experience.
You be ideally?
In a perfect world, probably just a lean, mean 200 would be perfect.
Okay.
Perfect world. It's hard to touch 200. It's like it's just tough, man. I've been
under 210. You're fighting for every calorie.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So
where's the scale at?
It's in the break room.
You think it's on like that? Is that your weight right now? You feel?
Yeah.
It's calibrated correctly.
It is, dude. Because I've been really abusing my body.
No, I feel you, bro.
Yeah.
How long is the fair? It was like 3 weeks or something like that. Two weeks.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. I gained 6 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Man. I gained 6 pounds during.
That's
the
a good run, Lucius.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You're walking around a lot.
Yeah.
You burnt off half of it.
All them sugary margaritas and burgers, corn dogs.
I'm so jealous. I didn't get over there for one of those.
I'm gonna go step on that thing.
All right. Yeah, man.
Go step on it.
Let's see. Let's see what the truth has in store for you because that. That hurt a little bit. This is good timing. This is good timing. This is going to make me feel good on Thanksgiving. You'd be like, I earned
yes
these. I earned the right to gain back all the weight I just lost over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. For sure.
Because that's exactly what will happen.
It's going to happen.
Trust me, I know from experience.
We'll run it back December 1st, maybe. Take it to Christmas.
There should be a good again. There should be a good 2 or 3 weeks where I can fit into non-sweatpants again. I look forward to that.
682 says they once dropped 4 pounds in one bathroom visit.
Wow. Must have had an amoeba.
Unbelievable.
Like that.
That's pretty crazy. What's your Zalat pizza order?
The pepperoni masterclass. You get regular pepperoni. They don't put the garlic on top as much. And they don't put as much pepperoni.
So you want the masterclass. That's going to give you more pepperoni.
And garlic.
And the garlic, which is a must have.
It's game changer.
It really is a game changer.
Yeah. And the cracked pepper.
940, first 4 months after my first child was born, I gained 72 pounds.
You are kidding me.
Yeah.
Half pound a day?
215 to 287. That is absolutely insane, 940. Thank you for your transparency. And I am just more so impressed than anything. I would love to. I wish he was vlogging that entire experience, dude.
That's a lot.
You could have crushed on a streaming service.
I mean, so you burn so many calories per day just naturally, right? Like 2,500, and there's like 7,000 calories in a pound. So, and you're gaining a half pound a day. So you got to be eating around 6,000 or 7,000 calories and doing nothing. It's impressive.
so good.
I mean, damn.
469 goes masterclass with the jalapeno. I like that.
Okay.
I like that touch. Feel like a little spice there. 469. I always thought that me and him were the same size. He's 5'9", 175. But yeah, he saw me at the firehouse tour, saw how bloated I was, and he realized quickly.
It's just in the face, Eric. Don't let them get you down.
No, don't let me take this shirt off. Well, you saw the.
No, you look fine with the shirt off.
You saw the the picture from Sean.
You just wear it in your face.
It was a fupa situation that I was not
fault.
Proud of.
You Are you sure that thing is calibrated, man?
Thank you, Lucius. I think the clothes, maybe that chain you have on, looks like a half pounder or so.
Yeah, you know how I be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe it's a different metric. Are you sure it's in pounds? Is that kilograms?
I wish.
I'm
dude.
Not sure.
So right now at this moment, I'm 6'1", 240.
Let's go, dude. Beast mode.
That is some beast mode, dude.
Feast mode, baby.
Trust beast mode.
Built like a burger right now.
Dang, dude. You could be lead blocking in the eye formation for beast mode.
Nah.
There's beast following feast right there in the A gap. First down once again. That's a dynamic duo. You could have been the Moose Johnson to
that's sad
to Beast Mode.
<That's crazy. laughs> Moose, body shaming me, cuz.
Give him the nickname the Turkey Leg.
Yeah.
Oh no,
the Turkey Leg.
This run brought to you by the State Fair of Texas.
It's not Thanksgiving, but old Alexander's got another one of the turkey legs. 518 burning 2,500 calories a day is not normal. I don't know what the average calorie burn per day is, but either way, when you're putting on 72 lbs in a 4 month time, you are doing something pretty special there.
Crushing the game, dude.
Did you guys see the police chase video locally here, Tarrant County?
It popped up as soon as you were talking about it. It's like it's listening to
us. This is crazy, dude. Let's see, I-35W northbound before moving to 287 at speeds close to 100 miles per hour, exited the road, wound its way to a two-lane road before coming to a stop at Sendera Ranch Boulevard in Haslett. This is right over by my parents' house. This is right where I grew up. The suspect ran from police, front-flipping over a barbed wire fence before he was then taken into custody. The video is pretty incredible. The video that you see going around right now is the end of the police chase where this dude bails from his vehicle and then goes by foot, leaping over, front-flipping over the barbed wire fence. Very athletic, but then the SUV police car barrels through.
Went through the fence.
Yeah, went through the fence, and then that dude just gave himself up after that.
Oh, man.
When you give yourself up, I don't think you should do the violent push as the chasing police officer. But, you know, hey, he was endangering lives, and I get it. That's a
stolen
hell
car.
Of a flip.
Stolen
kinda
car.
Like, kind of like the Michael Gallup flip, but he just kind of went over and did a mid-air somersault and then landed on his back and rolled like he was a stuntman.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing the details on this guy. What's the height, weight, speed there? But I don't think he's going to need to lose any weight for the upcoming Thanksgiving holidays.
No.
Stolen car.
You better start snitching.
I guess in Lufkin.
Man, that's a long run.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a good run.
Probably should have stolen a different one like in Waco or something. You know, you get out, you steal a different one they're not looking for.
You car hop a little bit.
The old switcheroo.
That's what I usually do.
Dude, have you guys ever heard of the football play titled The Vomit?
The Vomit.
I meant to do this earlier in the week when Broadus was here because perhaps maybe he had heard of it, but apparently it is a legendary fake punt play that only makes an appearance every blue moon, but a high school team in Modesto, California revived the play. It's a fake punt that involves the punter going in full punt mode. He receives it. But then when he goes to kick it, he acts like he's kicking it, but he actually just underhand throws it.
Oh.
And his gunner guy knows that it's a throw and he's going for the reception.
Nice.
It's kind of like it's nice deception because he looks like he's going to punt it, but he's actually, as he's doing the punt, he's actually just underhand throwing it up into the air and his gunner guy knows. And so the gunner goes and catches the ball 20, 30, 40 yards down the field.
Let's go.
And they pulled it off.
So I would be training my punter at this.
Exactly.
You know, I'm keeping you aware. Your coverage is going to be compromised of your punt that you're receiving.
Yes. Yes.
Or your, yeah.
I mean, what a great play. I'd never even considered that.
I'm surprised we haven't heard of it before. That seems like something that should have popped up like in The Waterboy, you know?
You're right, yes. Or The Little Giants or something.
Yeah.
Pretty cool play.
Now, I did see in Arkansas, a fella hit a guy maybe a couple of weeks ago. A wide receiver hit him so hard that after he gathered himself on the ground, he did throw up. I thought that's where you were going.
Oh, no. I have seen that before.
Yeah.
I've seen some hit so hard you puked. I actually got sick after a game one time because I think I got rocked so hard during the game that like later it was just all kind of hitting me. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that dude just hit me into a sickness.
Oh, got a little concussed.
Holy hell.
He gave me mono.
That was crazy, bro.
I got hit so hard I got the flu.
Okay, 2024, word of the year. I was not expecting this. I know nothing about this. And this is just another indication of my own aging, I guess. The word of the year is brat.
Brat.
After Charlie XCX declared it a brat summer, and it created a cultural phenomenon that I was completely unaware of.
Like girls acting like brats, like spoiled brats.
Yeah, that's what I think of, right?
Like characterized by a confident, independent, and hedonistic attitude.
Okay. All right. I wouldn't be whatever shopping for one of those.
Shout out to hedonism.
You know?
A little spot in Jamaica.
Okay. It sounds wonderful.
Sounds like a buck wild summer.
Year when I disappeared.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I told Carter about it, and that's about it.
That's right.
Yeah, I did.
That was a hell of a trip.
Are you sure
this isn't a brat summer?
Wow. Yeah. See, now that is a summer. Now, I would have heard of that.
Yeah.
I would not have been under the brat rock, but I have been under the brat rock, and apparently that's the word of the year. The Collins Dictionary has a bunch of different words that were runner-ups. Are you guys familiar with any of these words?
Try me.
Delulu.
Nope.
Delusional?
I'm assuming it is a...
But we're calling it Delulu.
Yeah, he's a little Delulu.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of like that one.
I've used it.
Brain rot?
Brain fart, but now we're rotting.
Yeah, instead of the brain farting, it's just rotting.
It's rotting away.
Romanticy?
What?
Romance fantasy, I guess.
Okay.
Romanticy. T-A-S-Y?
Yes.
Sounds like an R&B song.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely it does. We have looks maxing. It's one word with two X's. Looks maxing.
So you're optimizing your aesthetic,
okay.
Basically.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I don't have any definitions to these words. I just see the words. So we're all trying to play along with what they actually mean. Anti-tourism, for whatever reason. And then, well, of course, raw dogging.
Oh, yes, the plane rides.
Raw dog on those flights.
Yeah, the flight.
And there's another very, very important medical story involving an airplane right now and an airplane expert and why you should never use the toilet paper in an airplane bathroom.
No.
It does seem very thin.
Well, there's that.
It's covered in bacteria.
Boom.
I don't want to take a poo on a plane.
Yeah. I have never and will try to never.
I can't believe so many people go back in there for 20, 30 minutes like it's nothing. You know, it's just disgusting. You wouldn't want half the cabin smelling your refuse if you could possibly help it. That's embarrassing.
Or when you have to fart in the bowl.
Yeah.
And it makes that echo sound.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
Shakes the cabin a little bit. Sorry about that, guys. Turbulence.
It's a bad deal.
From feast mode, he's in the bathroom now.
Yeah. And, be surprised if we can get out that little
feast
door.
Feast mode is on our flight. He's in the bathroom right now.
Buckle up, boys. But yeah, apparently the backsplash from dudes standing and peeing again. That is a huge problem. It's part of the reason why I, in the comfort of my own home, am an advocate for sitting while peeing.
You don't want the cloud.
At least 9% of the time, or 99.9% of the time. And so that's just one of those, the backsplash. It's real, and it's even more real in the uncomfy confines of a airplane bathroom.
It's dangerous.
Watch Appreciate you, out there.
Chief. Thanks for that public service announcement. It is the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The Fan After Dark is coming up next. It appears you have CA and Blake as tonight's configuration, and we'll find out what they have cooking coming up next here on The Fan.
It's been a wonderful football Friday here in the G-Bag Nation, and now we pass the baton to Fan After Dark. We have the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold, in the building after a legendary appearance at the Mavericks game once again last night. Looking forward to those details. And Mr. Blake Elliott,
yes.
QB1. QB1, Blake QB1. Elliott tonight, QB1. Baby. I'm fired up.
Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco syndrome, if you will. Hopefully I can keep my starting job on like a Rich though.
Stay composed in the pocket and don't tap out.
Won't tap out. Doesn't matter how tired I get.
If you need a breather, just say CA. Here's the ball. Exactly. You know, don't forget to hand it off from time to time. Give it to your backs.
Don't consider yourself Anthony Richardson. How about make yourself a Washington Commanders quarterback?
Ooh, okay. I'll be Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I was thinking Marcus Mariota.
RG3 just last a couple. Maybe rookie season, just be a rookie of the year, and then
that's it.
Yeah, get injured.
All right, we got a little Blake It or Leave It tonight. Please say yes.
We do have a little bit of Blake It or Leave It. And my Blake It or Leave It, I don't like to plan them out. I like it to be during the day, what I'm feeling, what sparks, you know, some excitement throughout the day.
That's weed. That's weed.
And I woke up and it was cloudy, gloomy, if you will. And I said, well, if I wasn't going to work, what would I want to do? And then I made a list. What are the best things to do on a cloudy day?
Mm. Cloudy day, blake it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Out there too. It's like November.
It is cuffing season, cuddling season. Like it's the time. It starts today, right?
Yeah, it's the time of the year in Texas where you have to turn the damn heater on when you wake up in the morning, and then have a heater on at night, and then turn the air conditioner on in the day. That's what we're trying to
say. So that's a great question. Being a single person who lives by myself.
You're in an apartment with no controls?
No. I just turned on the heater yesterday, and I got the debris smoke smell. So initially, I thought something was burning in my house.
That was the excitement that you were sparking.
Did a quick Google search and realized that if you haven't turned on your
heat. Google searched it.
If you haven't turned on your heat in a while.
What happens if you smell smoke?
I literally typed in, why is my AC smoking?
You smell it from last year.
And it was
a tough day for him.
It was just like the debris is burning off of. So if you're at your house and you just turn on your AC and you're wondering, why is it smoking? Not because something is burning, but just because the debris is getting burned off. There's your Blake fact of the day.
Love it.
We're still blowing straight AC at my crib. Nice and cold, too. Yeah. You got to wear a hoodie or something in my house. Whole family hates me. I love it. They all hate me. Come on, Dad.
Nah, that's how it should be.
I like it cold.
When you wake up in the morning, it's not too cold?
No, it's ice cold. I got to open up the windows and everything to warm the house up.
Ice cold.
It's ice cold.
You know what to do.
Lucius, what is your temp set at, though? That's going to tell me a lot about
it. 66, 68, that's around there. Real.
66 cold, is chilly.
Cold, bro.
Is
really about I sleep with two blankets. 72? One's that weighted blanket. Oh, yeah, it's nice and cold. Weighted blankets.
But still, 66.
Yeah. Nice. They're going to wake up with the flu. I don't care.
You got to have socks on at all times.
24/7.
Pay for it.
Yeah. All right, so CA, you were last night.
Deadpool.
You looked fantastic.
You rocked that thing.
Let me tell you, the entire American Airlines Center was Halloween for the Mavericks taking on the Houston Rockets. We'll get into that game a little bit later in the show. But as far as all the activities and things that were going on, everybody's dressed up. Big shout out to Sean Heath, the PA announcer. He was dressed up like Beetlejuice.
Okay, I mean, that's who Beetlejuice was.
That's who Beetlejuice was. Yeah. And he said it took like an hour for him to do the makeup and stuff. I was able to find a Deadpool costume that fit perfectly.
Where'd you buy it from?
I got it online. Yeah. And I got lucky. I mean, head to toe, the thing fit. And it worked out great. Nobody knew it was me until I took my mask up. And I was interviewing, my pregame show, I was interviewing Joe Trahan from Channel 8. He didn't even know that was me until I put the mask up. So it worked out real good. And I was making the rounds and all that.
Well, and you busted out the NSYNC.
Oh, yeah. When I was doing the pregame, Shippy, you know, he's on the ones and twos.
Uh-huh.
When I said, Dallas Mavericks fans, make some noise. Bye, 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 bye. So I did a little Deadpool dance at the beginning of the movie. Yes, bye, dude. Bye, bye,
bye, bye.
We got to get some footage of this, man, because I bet that was legendary.
I think we're realizing firsthand. I mean, I've already known this, but maybe the Tolos, we're never going to have another CA. It's just one of a kind.
Oh, there's just one of them.
Just one of a kind.
Only one. Amen to that.
You got to appreciate your grace while they're here in front of you, man.
He's your favorite legend's legend.
EOG.
That's right.
You asked that jockey woman one of the greatest questions of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say it. I'm playing it next
week,
bro.
For those who missed it, the Breeders' Cup is this weekend.
Yeah.
So we had a former female jockey. She's like a commentator now.
What do you mean by former female?
Former jockey.
Well, it's 2024. You got to be
She's
clear
a
about
jocker.
That.
Jockey.
She's a jocker.
What do you mean by former female?
What do you mean?
Well, maybe she's changing before our eyes. No, seriously, I asked her the question that everybody should know. Do horses know if they won or not?
Wow.
And she
That's
said,
weed. That's
her
weed.
Answer was brilliant. She said, you know what? I'm not sure that they do. She says, here's the deal. You know, usually horse people, because she grew up with horses. Her mom was a jockey. Her brother was a jockey. She was a jockey. She should be in the Hall of Fame. But she said it's 1% of the 1% of the jockeys are in the Hall of Fame. She said, I don't really know for sure. She said, but it's like if you have a dog. You know, the dog, if you reward him for something, he's all happy. When a horse finishes the finish line and he wins, you know, there's all this hoopla. So they know something good happened. She said, but I don't know if he will. They knows he won. I said, yeah, it's kind of like
Dan Campbell with the Lions right now.
Yeah.
Like,
Chris didn't explain it right, though. He said, I wonder if them horses know if they won or not.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I cannot wait for that. We're hearing that on Monday, Lucius. Yeah, is that right? How about that for a tease?
I'm ready, baby.
What else is coming up tonight, fellas?
We got two great guests at 7:40. We're going to have Skywalker Steele from A to Z Sports giving us a little bit of Dallas Cowboys insight as they take on the Falcons on Sunday. And then at 8:20, we got Tyler Batiste to talk a little NBA, a little Mavs, a little around the league on things we're missing. And then at 9:20, NBA stories you have missed. Me and CA will get you caught up to date.
Awesome.
That's beautiful. And you'll let us know, you'll unveil at some point during the program how many Starburst wrappers you consumed for Halloween last night.
Yeah, we definitely got to do some Halloween stories. Some what did you dress up as, best memories. We'll probably do that at the next segment.
Young single Blake, you were probably out at a party last night.
Who knows? You got to stay tuned for
That's
the next segment.
That's why it wasn't working.
Sparking excitement.
It's like, hey, I got to ask off. I got the sexy Halloween party. Woo! All right. We got the Fan After Dark, the three-time Hall of Famer, CA, of course. Blake Elliott, shout out to Lucius. Another fantastic show as always. Thank you to Carter. I see you, Chris Strong, back there. Let's go play now. Shout out to Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo. I'm Zach Wolchek. Until Monday at 2, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.